So on the line right now, we have John McElwain, Lynn Goodendorf, Michael Pelage, Mikey O'Connor, and myself, Craig Schwartz. And I think the agenda is pretty well defined for this meeting. And with that said, I'll turn it over to Michael to run the meeting as he usually does.
Thank you, Craig. Well, everybody, I guess my first question to the three people, Lynn, I saw your comments that you've read the revised RFI and like the format.
Yes, I thought it was good.
Excellent. So my question is really to John and Mikey. Have you been able to sort of take a look at it? And, you know, what can we do to sort of polish this up and over the course of the next 2 weeks, get it out so we can start getting some responses? So, John, have you been able to review it yet?
I have, and I liked it a lot. You know, I didn't have any major revisions or anything. I mean, there are a couple little tweaks I would make, and I think your email said that you recognize there was some polishing that needed to go on. And you know, my goal would be just coming out of this meeting is just let me know when I can make some of my suggested little tweaks. But overall, it's finally gelled in my mind, and I think that this is a great document, a great step.
All right, Mikey, your comment.
I also read it. I also think it's definitely in the getting there category. The one sort of major idea that I think I put in an email to the list is just the idea of if I were trying to respond to this, some scoping parameters would be helpful. I don't know how to work those in exactly, but the idea being... The notion that some of these TLDs might have not too many registrars and not too many names and thus would be easier to evaluate and probably would be cheaper to evaluate. And so some sort of...
I thought I tried that question in there. So here's...
Maybe I missed it.
And put it this way, maybe I thought about it and... It never went from the gray matter through my fingers onto the electronic media. That's the other. Possibility.
This is Lynn. I mean, my thought on that is that in doing an RFI, that this is one of the differences in an RFI is that you really want to gather as much information as possible, and then in the RFP, you would address. Scope. With that said, maybe in the background information, there could be a sentence added just acknowledging that the TLDs are going to have we expect a wide variance in their size and complexity.
So, Lynn, thanks. So, here's my proposal, right? We everybody kind of blocked out an hour for this call. We're 10 minutes in. My proposal here, as far as really moving this ball forward, is it's a 7-page document. Let's open it up. If everybody could open it up in front of us, we'll go through paragraph by paragraph. We'll try to wordsmith as much as we can. And, you know, at the end of an hour or in the next 50 minutes, I think we will have a much more polished document that we'll just have to pull some teeth to get some of our other colleagues on the working group to give us some feedback. And if not, you know, maybe we just have a poll or a vote, you know, and that always tends to bring out the people from the woodwork. So that would be my proposal. So if everybody could perhaps get the document open in front, or we can, I guess, throw it up on Adobe. I mean, we got four people here. Is it a problem with anyone opening the document up in front of them?
No problem for me.
I got it.
All right, so let's everybody get it up, and we'll start with, we got 7 pages, and one whole page is nothing but legalese that we'll let Mr. Halloran and Jeffries have that fun. So really, we got about 6 pages to go through. Let's see how many we can get done in the next 50 minutes. Okay, so the first page is, the first page is nothing but blocks to fill in as far as, company name. Again, this was basically all, shall we say, recycled from the UNICEF, the UN thing. Is there any background information there that people think we might want to add as a standard question, another box, or is that good enough for us to go?
Good enough for me. Mikey here.
All right.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. All right, good. Page one. Now we're on the page, one page down. Excellent. On to page two. Now, page two is where, this is where I would say the majority of the stuff, I would say probably 95% is from Dave's original text. So let's begin to, I think, look at section 1-1. Section 1-1 on the subject matter, if we could take a look and see if there's any proposed wordsmithing. I'll be quiet now while everybody reads.
Michael, this is John. This is maybe strange for a lawyer to say this because we like to define words so often. When I read it over the first couple times, I didn't pick up that we had defined program in that very first block, and got a little, as a result of just referring to something generically as program, it started confusing me with some of the contextual questions afterwards. So I would maybe suggest that we define it as a high security program or something to that effect. You'll kind of see later on that then questions and sentences make sense more in a contextual way.
So instead of just large P program, you want to do HSTLD program or HSTL? I mean, so we've called it the high HSTLD was the name of the working group, so let's just call it the HSTLD program. Any objections to that, Craig? Would you have any problems with that?
Nope, I think it's fine.
So we're going to change it from high security zone verification to back to our HSTLD.
No,
that's just we're going to leave it. We're going to call it a model for a high security zone verification program,
okay.
And then we're throughout the rest of the document, we're just going to call it HSTLD program
instead of
it's
program.
Just not the same
we
letters.
We could do HSZ if you like.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not the same letters. That's all I was thinking.
Okay, HSZ. I'm easy going there, Mikey, and I like the continuity. HSZV, it almost sounds like a disease or a drug, HSZV. Oh, you've been quarantined. You have H1N1. You have HZV. HZVV. Man, that's a HSZ program.
You know, so this is Craig, and I'm just being nitpicky, but everyone in the world knows us as HSTLD, and I'd rather keep it HSTLD program, and if we need to change it to model for a high security TLD
verification program. Yeah, right.
I think that's right. I agree.
Thank you, Craig. There you
save
go.
Save us from those are tough.
Okay, so we'll just, from now on, we'll call it the HSTLD program. All right, thank you, John. And what I'll do is I have the pen here, so to speak, so I'm making all the changes to save everyone some hassle. Okay, so that first paragraph is done.
No, I have one more comment. On that same sentence, the phrase control standards and incentives, I feel like I should suggest some different words such as control measures and processes or control practices. But I think I'm not sure what incentives would be, but I think we need a different choice of words there instead of standards and incentives.
I like that. I like that. So I will strike out incentives because, again, the incentive is participating in the program and not necessarily the thing. So we'll call it consisting of control. Haven't we called them elements throughout the rest of the document?
That's right. They're referred to as elements in the document.
Yeah. Consistency. So what we'll do is instead of standards, we'll keep consistency. So it will be a voluntary program consisting of control elements to increase security and trust in the domain name system. I like that.
Yeah.
Any objections to Lynn's proposed changes? Moving right along. Now we'll move to the second paragraph there in 1-1, which is three lines.
Mikey here.
Yes, Mike.
You might want to stick a word or two in front of viability. Are we just talking about financial viability? Are we talking about financial and operational viability? Something like that.
I think when we've used the word viability, we've always done so without context, you know. So I would just say viability means technical, it means financial. There are no limitations in our viability analysis. At least that's been my approach to date. Do you see any reason why we would want to use a limitation here?
It's mostly because of the kind of information that we're asking them for in the later parts of the document. Mostly asking them about financial stuff. This is back to the question I raised on the last call as to whether we want to put a few more questions in here about the opinion as to whether they think this approach will work. Kind of thing.
Well, here would be my take, Mikey, on this one, is throughout, when you've looked at the snapshots, I think we've never qualified viability, right? So what I would like to do, and I appreciate the point that you're raising here, I would like to perhaps supplement the RFI with some of the technical questions that you're looking at to round out the document as opposed to narrowing it down.
So Michael, this is Craig. I think viability, the way it as it's captured in that sentence, I think is fine. I think in the final report that the group does, I think it can go into detail, but I like viability the way it is. And Mikey, if you have it, you've talked about additional questions. I mean, if you have them, can you go ahead and submit them to the list?
Yeah, although I don't want to, I mean, you know, I've been encountering a lot of headwind on that question for months, so I don't want to burden everybody with that debate again.
Here's what to do, Mikey. I mean, what we did, and one of the important takeaways from last week's call was we now have a structure where we can plug in and strike out questions a lot easier, right? So, I have no problem. Come up with a couple of questions when we get to section 3 or 4, whatever it is. We throw them in. We see how we look, how they look. And if the group, if the consensus says keep them in, we keep them in. If the consensus says take them out, we take them out. I mean, so I guess my proposal here is let's try to sign off. We'll leave the term viability as it is right now. And again, I would really echo Craig. I would welcome some additional questions. Put them in. Let's look at them. There's nothing wrong with asking questions.
You know, at this point, you know, I think more questions are better because we're trying to collect as much information as we can. And let's include as much as we can at the onset.
Okay. I'm happy to come up with some. I just don't want to run us through a bunch of hoops.
It's okay.
I'll go ahead and try. It's fine.
So, Michael, the other comment that I have, Michael, about that second paragraph, and you and I have already talked about it, is the use of the word determine, dot, 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 the high security TLD advisory group to determine the viability. And I don't know that it's really the advisory group's role to make a determination. I think it makes an assessment.
Analyze.
So I'm actually
analyze.
Better with...
Assess is good.
I'm better with assess? To assess.
To assess, there we go, assess. All right, I'm happy with that. That change is made to assess the viability. Moving on now to section 1.2, background. We'll take the first paragraph there. I'll let everybody read it.
Michael, this is Dave Piscitale. Just taking a moment of silence to sign on.
Hi, Dave.
Welcome, Dave.
Yeah, I think...
PR, just to give you a heads up, we're with the group. Everybody liked the revised format. We're putting use to the next remaining 40 minutes of the call to basically, go line by line and do a group polish with the 3 to 5 people we have on the call and put it out to the list. So, as I said, we're on section 1.2 right now.
Okay, facts?
Yes. In the second sentence there on 1.2, I think to be concise, we could delete to exploit domain names. It's a little bit redundant. And we've already said sought to exploit vulnerabilities, so I'm just proposing that we strike that phrase to exploit domain names.
Yep. I agree, and I was actually I like that proposed change because I didn't like the word two exploits in one sentence was a little over the top for me. So the way the sentence will read now is certain individuals or organizations have sought to exploit vulnerabilities within the DNS technology for malicious or criminal purposes. I have no problem with that change, Mikey, John.
You could take technology out too, actually.
Within the DNS?
Yeah.
All right.
Fine.
Because what happens is sometimes they're actually business practices that they're exploiting as well, not necessarily technology. So I actually think that deletion is a better enhancement. Technologies has been struck.
You know, I'm thinking about that. And just thinking about malicious activities, they also exploit registration procedures and requirements, which is not really the technology. But, I don't know, thinking out loud, maybe just striking technology is the way to...
Well, that's what we did. I do like Mikey's proposal to strike it. And then what Dave has done in the third sentence of this paragraph, he talks about the registration services as well as the administration, which
goes
very process.
Which does address that. Okay, thanks.
I see no problem with that whole first paragraph. Is there any other proposed polishing, edits, wordsmithing, or can we move to the next paragraph?
Move.
All right, moving right along, second paragraph. Did I go a little to the greatest extent possible? I think that's maybe a little too over the top there.
Where
and we talk about malicious. Do we just maybe strike that first sentence?
No, I think that ICANN does have a strong commitment.
Instead, possible. How about feasible to do? Because that's like, and the reason I would use the word feasible is that actually is a nice little provision, exact wording from the ICANN bylaws that when it says ICANN should operate in an open and transparent manner to the maximum extent feasible, which gives at times the general counsel the ability to say that's not feasible, we're not going there. So instead of possible, perhaps we should just mimic the bylaws and go with feasible.
Or you could just
because then feasibility ties into viability.
Or you could just end the sentence after the word purposes. And it's just saying that ICANN and its community are committed. I think that's a true and accurate statement.
I agree. John, Mikey, any problems with Lynn's edit?
Sounds good.
To strike to end the period after purposes.
Yeah, fine.
Excellent. Done. Look at that. We already, in this sentence here, we already used HSTLD program before. We were already thinking ahead.
Yeah. Like the rest of it, I don't have any further.
Just on the HSTLD thing, when you go through the whole document, you'll find that it toggles back and forth between HSTLD program and then some other places we use the high security zone thing.
Yeah, so what happens is, and I think this is why we want to be consistent here. So
yeah.
In the last sentence here, where in the last sentence of this paragraph, we go, the program, it should be the HSTLD program, HSTLD program.
And HSTLD advisory group.
Right, that shows up again in the next paragraph, first paragraph on the next page. You'll see the zone thing.
All right.
So it's just sort of a global edit reminder to go through and tidy those up.
I'm manually doing it as we read each paragraph. So, all right, so what happens is we're now done page two, moving on to page three. And it is currently envisioned that this HSTLD program... So this is one of the discussion points. Craig, you had raised this in our discussion, I think, on Monday. So let me put this out to the group. The way I envisioned this was if we come out with these control criteria, there would be the ability for one or more third parties, whether that's a KPMG, a Deloitte, people that do these types of audits already, ISO type audits, so that we just have the criteria, and then ICANN would go and would say, okay, yes, you have the skill set to do this, so that we would have multiple potential evaluators, so that registry operators could sort of pick and choose instead of there just being one sole source provider. Competition to me has always been a good thing, and choice. So that was my initial thinking, and again, this is something that tracks back to some of my original viewpoints regarding the UDRP. When we were first discussing the UDRP back in 99, WIPO's initial assessment was, we only need one UDRP provider, and I'm like, yeah, how about we go with allowing people to have choice? So the way this is written right now is we're talking about multiple providers being acknowledged or accredited or acknowledged, I guess is the best word, by ICANN. Now, Craig, I think in your discussion, you were thinking perhaps we start out with one. I mean, what was your take there?
I think the wording, the way it is now, one or more, I think is fine. I guess because we have no sense of the scope, that is, how many how many registry operators might pursue this, to have you know, potentially four providers and maybe fewer registries pursuing this designation, the math just doesn't work to me in terms of implementation costs. So, like I said, I think the wording is okay, but I don't see four providers getting, you know, the nod from ICANN right from the start.
Well, let me ask you this question, Craig. Let's just suppose Registry A uses KPMG, Registry B uses Deloitte, and Registry C uses, you know, Accenture or something like that. To me, the way I would look at this is the registry would go to their existing auditor and say, hey, we want to participate in this. You know, would you be interested? And then that organization would then make a determination of, hey, my client wants this. Am I going to go and jump through the hoops that ICANN's asking me so that I could get the gold seal and begin, administering this program? Or, do I potentially risk my client going to another competitor? That's why I feel kind of strongly with the one or more, is we allow the market to make decisions as opposed to ICANN saying, you know, we'll start with one and then, you know, let's keep it open. That's kind of my viewpoint. And perhaps if Lynn, John, and Mikey, if you could comment on that point as well, Lynn?
Well, I was thinking about, as a reference point, the payment card industry PCI standard, that they have now set up a requirement that in addition to certifying what they call QSAs, and in other words, like for an external auditor to be able to audit on the standard, you have to go through like a training and certification class or program. They're now saying that if you want to have internal auditors audit, that the internal auditors have to go through a training program as well. So I think that's one of the considerations is, at least in my mind, is that there probably has to be a process to determine who's qualified to review the elements.
Okay, John, are you fine with the current wording? And what's your kind of viewpoint? So, two questions: are you fine with the wording? And what is your view as far as being one or multiple providers at this point in time?
This is actually one of the sentences I would suggest a revision to, which I think the way it would work would be maybe a period after evaluators, which I am fine with there being one or more independent third-party evaluators. But I think that I wasn't sure what we meant by ICANN community. I think the next sentence might be ICANN will license enter into contracts with these third-party evaluators and would retain ownership and authorship of the control elements.
Okay, so what you're saying here is you would say after evaluators put a period, and then you would say ICANN. So now I strike WALVA. ICANN would you want to use the word license or would credit?
I don't want to use the word license.
ICANN would. I guess enter into agreements with third party. We could say would control the. It's control. I mean, they're clearly, if we have an independent third party, evaluator. What we'll see is the same. If there's multiple parties, what we'll see is the same debate over is one evaluator more lenient than others? And so there needs to be some.
Yeah, and if you use the word auditors, then the question is going to come up whether or not a qualified internal auditor would be acceptable.
So I think what we're all getting at, if there's more than one, there needs to be some oversight by ICANN to avoid the problem of, hey, let's just go to them. They're cheaper and they're easier to get a certification from them.
So if we look at the way UDRP providers are referenced, ICANN approves UDRP providers. So
exactly.
Why don't we just use the word approves?
I'm fine with that. I presume that they're under some sort of ultimate oversight, that if they're not doing a satisfactory job, they can have that approval revoked.
Yeah, I like that, just adding approved.
Yeah, me too.
All right, so we put a period after evaluators, and then the next sentence starts, ICANN would approve these evaluators while retaining oversight and authorship of the control elements.
Excellent.
Yep.
What about the revoke?
How about ICANN would approve/revoke? How do you want to do that?
I think John nailed it. I think what the problem with the UDRP providers is people shop across them. And so what we want is some mechanism whereby ICANN can unwind it. I'm not sure how to wordsmith that, but...
That ICANN would reserve the right to revoke. That they would approve and reserve the right to revoke.
Doesn't ICANN approving, doesn't that also imply that we could disapprove?
It's an ongoing approval. It's not a one-off, is what you're saying, Craig. I think that's what you're saying. It's not like you're blessed and for, you know, the approval is more of an ongoing thing. It's not a one-off.
How about maintains a list of approved?
We maintain a list of approved evaluators. I like that. Let me put that down. ICANN would maintain a list of approved evaluators.
And retain.
What is it?
And retain oversight and authorship of the control elements.
And retain oversight and authorship of the... I like that. Excellent.
So if I could just plug that we have 23 minutes left in this call, and we probably need to either move along or maybe think about collecting additional edits from individuals on the via the list.
I agree. But, I mean, as I say, I mean, I like what we're doing here because,
yeah.
I mean, I think in the first two, what is it, we're on page three now. So are we going to get through all six pages before the legalese? Probably not. But let's use the remaining 22 minutes as best as we can. I really do like the time we've spent here on these first two sentences. So let me read them to everybody before moving on. It is currently envisioned that this HSTLD program would involve one or more independent third-party evaluators, period. ICANN would maintain a list of approved evaluators and retain oversight and authorship of the control elements, period. And then what we're proposing here is instead of the high security zone TLD, we'll just call it the HSTLD advisory group. Is that what we had already discussed, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then on that third sentence or fourth sentence, it's HSTLD program. Another HSTLD program.
On that last sentence in the paragraph where it says we're particularly interested in hearing from the respondents, is that included in the questions? Let me jump down there. Because maybe rather than stating it there, or we can still, it still needs to be a question on the question list.
Okay, I lost you there, Lynn. I was just making some other things. So what on the last sentence? What is your proposed edit on that last sentence in the paragraph?
Let me see here. I went down to the question list. Go back up.
Let me chime in while you're looking, Lynn.
Yeah.
Okay, Mikey.
I think this is right in line with sort of what I was talking about, which is this is actually kind of a question.
Okay.
Pros and cons of various things. And
thank you.
What we should do is pull it down into the question list as a question and delete it from this paragraph.
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm going to do,
Mikey? That's what I was trying to say, yeah.
How about if you've noticed some of the questions I've actually repeated? So we'll leave it here, and I will move it down into the questions. The question is Mikey, Lynn, where do you want this to go? Question-wise, I got one through nine. Is this becoming 10, or is it getting inserted in between one of the existing questions?
I'm not concerned about the sequence, really.
And I would just lobby for a separate question because I think that, and I will take an action to try and frame a few of these. Sort of early in the sequence, what I'd like to see them do is give us their professional view on the pros and cons of some of these things and the feasibility/viability of whether they'll work. So, you know, I like it as a separate question.
So here's what I did, everyone. I took that text of the last sentence. I left it in the paragraph because I did like it from a background standpoint. I have now inserted it, that last sentence, as question number 10. And again, when we get to massaging the questions, we can make changes as necessary. So what I need now is we're reading that last paragraph before we get to section 2, and I have some comments. What were my original comments? Do we need to add an example? Or no, that's Dave. Do we need to add for a program? Cannot prevent me. How would you propose it? Would you add another sentence, or are you proposing to add that text? What exactly are you looking to do here? And give me specific examples. Dave? Are you on mute?
I can't hear him.
No, I can't hear him either.
I'm not sure that Dave, did you know that Mike was asking you a question?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Dave, I'm just looking at your comment there, DMP4. Man, you know how confusing that is? My initials are MDP. It's like
sorry.
We're inverting. You're
responsible for my initials.
There you go. I'm MDP, you're DMP. What's your middle name, Michael?
Yeah.
There you go. My middle name is David. Ain't that ironic?
Okay.
There you go. Symmetry, inversion, all that stuff. So, Dave, my question here is, do you have specific text here? I mean, do you have text you'd like to add? We're trying to get through this and knock it out. Give me the pros and cons, and we'll get the group to either add text or move it on. So what were you trying to do?
I was just throwing it out. I didn't know whether anybody had actually considered that. So,
all right.
I'm not happy with the first sentence there about this designation. I'd like to propose a change to say this designation is not intended to represent to represent
a comprehensive solution or a
zero risk. I'm trying to think of the right phrase, but we generally don't want it to represent that it's impossible to have a security issue. It's intended.
Mikey, Lynn. Mikey, with your auditor experience, do you have a word that we might be able to plug in to address a concern that Lynn has raised and which I also agree? So perhaps you could come up with some auditor-ease type language, or perhaps John and I as the lawyer could come up with some wiggle room word.
I'd go for the lawyer thing. I was never an auditor. I was on the consulting side. And I had lots of audit kind of jobs because they screwed things up. But I was actually never an auditor. So I got no words for you there. But I like the notion of zero risk. I mean, I think that's a good start. And maybe it's something like this designation is not intended to imply zero risk in a top-level domain as a starting point for a draft.
All right. Dave, you were trying to comment there?
Yeah, I'm trying to I now remember why I put this paragraph in, and it had to do with Evan's frustration and misgivings that there were no remedies that he could identify that the program would be able to claim it could fully absolve. So the example of the phishing URL was the best I could come up with in the 30 minutes I was trying to get it to you yesterday so that we could get it out for review. So I think panacea was, panacea was a bad choice of words. But the idea is that there are some things that the program can deliver in terms of mitigation, and there are some things that will never, ever be mitigated by any program. You can't mitigate social engineering, as an example, no matter how well you create defensive measures around a nuclear plant or around anything else, you can't. So if we can come up with some way to express that, that's fine. I'm also not absolutely married to having this in this paragraph. I put it there because I felt like I was, I was trying to attend to at least one member's misgivings.
This is Mikey again. So if we take those two things, if we say this designation is not intended to imply zero risk in a TLD, period, and then the next sentence could be, for example, the program cannot prevent, and then, lift it out of Dave's comment. I think that works. That reads okay to me.
Yes, I think it's important to have this point in the document because from the very beginning, that's why I like the term high security, because we're not saying bulletproof security and we're not even saying secure TLDs. We're saying high security, and I think it just reinforces that, that no one has an expectation that someone with this TLD with this designation would just be immune from any kind of security issues.
So perhaps this designation is intended to mitigate certain malicious and criminal activities. So mitigate, which means not cure all, mitigate certain. So, I mean, we kind of have two qualifiers there. So this designation is intended to mitigate certain malicious and criminal activities.
That works for me.
I'm fine with that, too.
All right. So this designation is intended to do that. So we have that sentence. Now what do we do with this? So now the next sentence, do we just strike that, or what? I mean, so that's the first sentence of this paragraph. What do we do with the remaining sentences?
Mikey, I think that might be the place to stick in the sentence that Dave is starting to craft in his comment. For example, the program cannot prevent the use of obfuscated URLs and phishing emails, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
I mean, you know, this would be a good place to insert that. I like that a lot. I think it's a good thing to stick in.
All right. So what happens then is we have the first sentence, and now the remaining paragraph will read, for example, the HSTLD program cannot prevent the use of obfuscated URLs and phishing emails. Additional measures will still be needed to combat these and other social engineering tactics commonly employed by attackers. All right.
Right.
We have it in there, tactics commonly employed. So that's how I put it in here. We have 9 minutes left. I would like to try to get through the rest of this page. It's aggressive, but let's see if we can get through the rest of this page, and I will put that text out for everyone to kind of reread. So now we go to section two. Let's do that first paragraph there.
Fine by me.
Yep, I'm fine. Moving on to the second paragraph.
Yeah, I think this whole section is very straightforward.
Excellent. Good. Now we'll do the third paragraph. Third two. All right, I'm fine with the third. Now we go to the fourth, where Dave and myself had a couple of comments. To allow individuals or organizations, and that was my question. Okay, good. So I will strike those two. I think Dave and I have now addressed one another's concerns, so I'm going to delete those two comments. And now we're on the paragraph, domain name registrations exist to allow individuals.
You know, I think I have a pretty good vocabulary, but I had to look up concatenated. I think that's an unusual word.
You could use joined instead.
That was my comment last week.
All right, there we go. Well, and you know what happened?
Is a geek term. I got it right away. But, you know, you could use join together or connect or combine or something like that.
We need Eric Bruner Williams to tell us what word to use that we need to translate. Anyway, these second level labels are joined with the TLD. So we'll use the word joined.
That's fine.
You could say associated or linked or related.
Or connected.
Yeah.
Connected. I like connected. Associated?
I think connected is actually better.
Connected. Bingo. Connected. There we go. Many domain names. So now we go through the different business models. All right, so I like all the business models, Dave. I like what you did there. So my proposal, just as a nice breaking point, is let's stop on the top of page four, the second bullet item, and just looking down, you know, we only got about two more pages to go through of actual text. And Craig, will you have Amy or Dan look at the proposed legalese so we could, tick that box as well. Because I think what we're looking at here is another two pages of text to go through. Mikey, you're going to give us a couple of extra questions, but what I'm looking at right now is I see us definitely being able to, I think, wrap this up on next week's call. So to get a definite final polished document done by next week, which will allow us 1 week to kind of think it over, have some second thoughts before we hit the publish button. So thank you, everyone, for your participation today. As my usual style, I'll just go through. Lynn, comments, questions before we wrap up?
I'm sorry, Mike. Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Craig.
I feel like I lost something in translation. So we're not completely through the document. You're going to clean up what you can clean up based upon the discussion today. How are final edits or remarks? Are you intending to continue this process on the next call, or do you want people on the list to send you their final edits and comments before next week?
Okay, so what I am going to do is I am going to send version 2.1 to the list after we get done this call. So all the edits that I have made through the first three pages will be sent to the list. I will then ask everyone to please provide edits, comments, you know, basically what I did on Monday. Now, my expectation and my hope would be that the rest of the group will participate and they'll all make the changes and we can do this all offline. Being realistic, I'm assuming we show up next week. We're all busy people. And, you know, if we've already done this offline, then, yes, next week we could just go right to polishing. But if we're back where we were today, we may just, you know, have to go through and, you know, plow through line by line. So I would encourage people to submit their comments and edits and all that stuff offline. But if not, we show up next week and we just get our work done. And we, you know, my goal is to have a near final polished document done next week so that we have the ability to look at it a week. What we've generally done in this group to date is before we push anything out, we kind of let it sit there for a week and, you know, see if, you know, that's just generally what we've done. So, according to that schedule, we should have an RFI ready to publish or have ICANN publish by mid September.
Okay.
It's basically, you know, tack on 15 days, so September 15th or whatever, 14th, 15th. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. Again, I'm not a big timeline person, you know. You know, for all we know, we have a bunch of people that have been ghosting to come back and, you know, may have a lot of comments, and, you know, we'll go through and address them. But if nothing changes right now, I see us being done the polishing next week and having 1 week to just let it, you know, let it bake and then hit the submit button. So, Lynn, you're first up. Comments on what we've done today as well as my proposed timeline. Is that the right timeline or too aggressive, too slow? I'm welcome. Comments and criticism. So.
Yeah, I'm happy. I feel this was a very good use of time today. And even though it's tedious, it's also helpful to go through these edits, even if it's just a small group of us. So I think we're on track. I think the timeline's realistic. And I generally good about this output.
Excellent. Thank you, Lynn. John, you're up next.
I'm good. I'm glad we've made some good progress here, and I'll look forward to another draft to review and comment on.
Excellent. Mikey, you're up.
Same here. I think we're doing great. Keep going.
And again, Mikey, I do agree with just following up with Craig's earlier comments. The more I definitely want to be much more inclusive. So, you know, I would really welcome some of the questions you were considering putting forward for potential inclusion. So,
I'll take an action to do that tomorrow morning.
Thank you very much. No comments from me. Turning over to ICANN staff. Dave, Craig, any comments?
I'm good.
I'm good as well, Michael.
Again, Dave, thanks for your help in this initial draft and getting us to where we are right now. Much appreciated. Everyone, talk to you next week. Craig, I guess, are you fine with originally we were doing 2 weeks. We're now going back to sort of a weekly call. So is there any action item that you've done, or are we back on a weekly call with the conference people?
No, we should – I'll make it that we're on a weekly schedule with the conference people.
All right, yeah. And as I said, maybe once we get this published by mid-September, maybe, Dave, you and I were talking about having Simon perhaps share some of his findings with the group. That may be one of the action items we take after post-RFI publication. So, again, thanks again, everyone, and I'll talk to everyone next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you all.
This concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may disconnect at this time.